Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Hope you're cool, Jimmy Buffett. Hope you're having a nice little Monday.
Rest in peace, by the way, Jimmy.
All right. Yeah, it's your sports bros, Rob, me, Big Secret. We got lowercase over there in place of Schnitzelwolf. Mm-hmm. He's out. He'll be back tomorrow for those who miss him. So coming up here.
Mama didn't raise no bitch.
We got to talk some sports.
We've actually been pretty sportsy today for a Monday.
Well, we usually are.
Yeah. We've leaned in.
Yeah. I mean, we do talk a lot of sports here, contrary to popular belief.
I know.
You know?
It's a label we get.
Yeah, we get labeled. You can't fit us in a box.
It's a cross we bear.
It's a cross we bear. Yeah, we usually just shoot the crap, but it almost always comes back to sports because we love it.
We are based around sports. I mean, it is sports radio.
We love it. So we will get to the. I want to your opinion on the Joe Burrow comments.
Yeah.
From last week, you didn't get to talk about those. We talked about them on Friday.
As a Cincinnati fan, I wouldn't love it.
God,
it's got some real Andrew Luck vibes.
But some headlines here. It is a torn ACL for Micah Parsons. Of course, same for Patrick Mahomes. They're both gone.
Devastating.
Well, no, they're not gone.
No,
they are not dead.
No.
But they will return to the football field, just not this year.
And we don't even know if they'll be ready at the start of next season. Yeah, we kind of, the ACL has kind of become like this, like almost like a throwaway. It's like, oh, he tore his ACL, he'll be fine. You don't know that. Like some guys recover in 6 months and it's great. Other guys can take up to, you know, 9 to 10. Other people, it can take an entire year after you're back. I mean, there's no guarantee that once something's torn like that, you're not 100%. I mean, these things do take a toll and you're not getting any younger. Especially for someone, I mean, Mahomes is going to be fine. I'm assuming that his oily Jack Sparrow hips will be fine running around out there. But for like Micah Parsons, who is one of the truly unique explosive athletes, you know, it's something to keep an eye on. These are not just minor injuries.
What if Mahomes comes back with an Oscar Pistorius leg?
He's got his super blade in there. I'd like to see it, although something that tells me the traction could be a bit problematic.
Yeah, it might
that.
Be a problem.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of other quarterback tidbits. Jaden Daniels of the Commanders is going to be shut down for the season.
Yeah.
No surprise.
What do you do at this point? They can't predict him. He did come back and got the hell kicked out of him. And I think that leads to one of the more interesting off seasons. We talk about, you mentioned with Kansas City how fast the window closes, right? There's no better example of that than the Commanders. So the Commanders, no one thinks anything of it. They draft Jaden Daniels. He comes in as a rookie, and they outperform everyone's expectations, right? They get hot. All of a sudden, like, they made the trade for Marshawn Lattimore. They find a way to get in the NFC title game, and it's like, man, we're one piece away. And so you go out and you make the Tunsil trade. You go out and you get Debo. You re-sign Bobby Wagner. It's like you go all in on this. And this year becomes an unmitigated disaster. Daniels is hurt all year. Your offense absolutely stinks. Your defense is terrible. Lattimore turns out to be nothing. You've given away a lot of draft capital. And all of a sudden, you're kind of looking at it next year, and you're like, oh, my God. Like, what are we doing? Like, it's a really weird offseason to be a Commanders fan, because obviously, I don't know if you're this bad. Obviously, if Jaden Daniels is healthy. But I'll tell you what. I do think that as a team, I think you're closer to this year than you are the one that went to the NFC title game. If you ask me, are you closer to one of the worst five teams in the NFL or closer to being a Super Bowl team? I think it's the other half. And you're one of the older teams in the league, and you gave away a lot of draft capital. Be careful microwaving your franchise to try to get somewhere. Indianapolis Colts, same thing. The Texans had to go through this a little bit. Now, their defense is so good, they're kind of dragging this sorry-ass offense along, but the Texans tried to do this with after C.J. Stroud's rookie year. No one wants to be patient and to try to build a team kind of the way Philadelphia did.
Well, but aren't they some of them, you can't blame them in one sense, because isn't the idea that when your quarterback's on a rookie deal, that's your window?
Yeah.
That's your best bet?
Yeah, I mean, there is truth to that, but also, like I said, just microwaving it is such a scary thing, because I think you end up paying a lot for players that aren't that good, which is why they're available in the first place.
Well, isn't it some of it, too, is copycat, right?
Yes.
The Rams just want to... Yes. The Rams did this.
Yes.
And we think that that's, commonplace, but it's not.
No.
The way... Because I remember you calling out the Rams. You're like, careful on this.
Ballsy move.
But because they got the title...
Yeah. It
made it all worth it. And, you know, they've stayed good. They've actually done a really good job with it, but that's the outlier. That's not the norm.
No, the Rams' ability, because they took their dip, but they went back to the drawing board and they reinvented their offense and they got really young on defense and they just hit on guys. And when you're successful, and this is where if you're the Commanders, I think you believe in yourself, is if you are an NFL team that can identify prospects and hit on two draft classes in a row, you can put yourself back in this window. The Denver Broncos did it. You can dig your way out of this, but boy, it is a perilous sort of situation when you try to shove your chips in the middle and you have to pivot and you have to realize and pivot hard. That's the other one. Denver might have done this as good as anyone. They went all in on the Russell Wilson thing and were like, crap. And what did they do? They said, look, this doesn't work. Fire our coach. We get rid of Russ.
Great little player.
We bring in Sean Payton. You start building a defense. And then you took a shot on a guy that some people didn't believe in, but Sean Payton did. And even today, some people still don't believe in it. And he's not the best in the world. But Denver has built a scary-ass defense and an offense that when Bo Nix plays well enough, here they are. That is a great pivot. And I wonder what Washington and Indy both are going to do in the offseason.
Yeah, the Colts are saying that Philip Rivers will be their starter. They'll be on Monday Night Football next week against my Niners.
Yeah. Great coaching job as well.
Grandpa Phil is going out there.
He is. Again. It's such a cool story. I just, watching him throw the ball, I'm not certain that this is good for more than a week or two.
Look, they have a good offensive line.
Yeah.
And they have Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
That's their bet.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
It's not about Phil Rivers.
No, it is not. I was really impressed, obviously, that you can come off the couch and do that. And what a cool moment. But man, I was alarmed at how bad the ball looked coming out of his hand. Because you're used to Philip Rivers having, that guy had an arm and the quick release and it zipped out of his hand. Boy, it looked like he was shot putting the ball. And I was like, whoa.
I think that one of the Seahawks DBs said that it was so slow coming out of, his ball was so slow they had to adjust to that.
Is it like
they couldn't adjust to it?
Is it like someone throwing the knuckleball?
It's like Jamie Moyer.
It's like when Pete Carroll was playing scout team quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
I just don't know if I've seen a ball, like
catch
you said,
teams off guard,
come out slower. I just was sitting there being like, and I kept waiting for the disaster to happen, but it didn't. He had anticipation. He knew where to put it. And he stayed out of trouble. It wasn't like an impressive performance, but
But he's pulling on Peyton Manning in Denver.
Yeah,
like he's smart. He knows where the ball needs to go.
Yeah,
he also knows his limitations, and he's not going to try to squeeze it somewhere where he shouldn't.
Yeah,
that's why they got him.
Yeah,
and by the way, he's fantastic too. We talk about Fernando Mendoza being a guy you want to root for, dude. Phillip Rivers is great. He's having the time of his life, and you see that sideline. He has given them juice.
Yeah, they're fired up over there.
There's
a belief there. If they could have found a way to win that game, that would have been amazing.
Their schedule is rough.
Yeah, but, and they may end up being short, but look, I, again, for what they had to work with, I think it's a really cool story. Plus, I like that it pisses Cam Newton off. I don't know if you've seen this. Cam's all sorts have been out of shape.
Oh, does he want to play or something?
Well, yeah, he's like, he and of course, he's claiming racism and all the other stuff because, you know, that. But
would it be bad to bring in Cam Newton?
I don't think people want to bring in Cam Newton.
Because of Cam Newton? Because
well, his
he's old.
As I've stated, his shoulder is made of crab meat. We saw that at the end. And I think the idea is Philip Rivers, while limited, is going to play in structure and isn't going to do dumb things and be a good teammate and leader and all that. And I don't think the same thing he said about Cam Newton in his hats. So I think that's why. But yeah, Cam's been on this, you know, this is the most outrageous thing in the world and everyone's against me. And, you know, Cam's in his feelings, which I personally think is hilarious because I think Cam Newton, despite being an unbelievable quarterback that doesn't get enough credit, is an absolute boob off the field. And I love that this pisses him off.
Yeah. The Colts next three, they play San Francisco, Jacksonville, and they're at Houston.
It's just brutal, man. One of those games.
God, they haven't played a bad team since.
No.
Well, I guess if you, are you calling Kansas City bad?
No, they're not.
Okay, they haven't played a bad team since week 10.
Yeah.
And they played the Chiefs, Texans, Jags, Seahawks, then the Niners, Jags, and Texans.
Yeah. And even before Daniel Jones tore his Achilles, you kind of saw this. Like, the running game was getting balled up a little bit, and Jones was coming back down to earth. Like, there were signs. There were signs that this was cratering. And I don't think it's necessarily even the Colts' fault. Like, we talk about the Seahawks. If the Seahawks had to play that schedule right now, you know, schedules are not created equal, and they have a really tough one. The Niners and Seahawks are both feasting right now, and they have both had very favorable schedules, and the Colts didn't. So I think the Colts are worthy of being a playoff team, but at the end of the day, they probably don't because of, one, injuries, and two, this. That's a brutal run. Chiefs, Texans, Jags, Hawks, Niners, Jags, Texans. I don't know if there's a tougher stretch that we've seen in the NFL. That's tough no matter who you are, let alone a team dealing with massive injuries and, you know, Isaac Rupp at quarterback. You're in better shape than Philip Rivers.
Yeah, I think so.
You are.
Yeah. Should give me a shot.
Listening to Matt Ryan today talk about, like, what being out of shape means for throwing the ball. he was like, look, I applaud Philip Rivers. Matt Ryan was like, I couldn't do it. He goes, so to see him go out there and he's talking about, like, you know, like you said, anticipation and all that. He just was saying that this is a really, really tough task to not be in shape and being asked to go out and do that. Someone asked Ben Roethlisberger and Ben said the same thing. Ben goes, my arm can still do it. He goes, the rest of my body isn't going to agree with my arm. I also wonder how Philip is feeling today from a sore standpoint.
Yeah, he's probably pretty sore. But I think it would be fun to see all these guys
one more time.
Yeah. Just all of them. Put them all out.
Oh, yeah.
Drew Brees, Tom Brady.
Nice all little turkey bowl.
Yes. I want to see them all. I bet you Roethlisberger, he's right. But if he still has the arm,
yeah,
I bet you that might not look so bad.
Well, Tom still looks like he's in shape.
Yeah.
Right? Tom takes care of himself. He's on all the weird, you know, growth hormone and face injections. He might be number one. I'll bet you it wouldn't be pretty, but I'll bet you Kaepernick could still run around a little bit. He's younger than those guys.
Yeah, and maybe that's Cam Newton's point.
Yeah.
It's like, why?
Like, none of us can throw, but I'm a big.
Why Philip River? Is it just because he was willing to come back? He's like the only one.
He knows the offense.
Yeah.
Steichen and him have.
Him and Shane Steichen are buddies.
The idea that Philip Rivers, I mean, he got there on a Monday or a Tuesday and played. I mean, his knowledge of the playbook and those receivers, that's why. If Philip Rivers had not, like, there's only one team in the league that Philip Rivers could have done this with, and that's the Colts.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part that maybe Cam and Kaepernick are missing. By the way, as soon as one of their quarterbacks gets healthy, like, if Riley Leonard's healthy, we're not doing this. So this may just be we needed someone for a week or two to maybe keep our playoff chances alive. And the idea of bringing in a quarterback like Cam Newton or Kaepernick that hasn't played, that has the injury problems, and doesn't know our offense and has to learn that terminology in 4 days, we can't do it. But Philip, same offense, man. You know what it is. You know the terms. Get out there, and he's not going to put us in bad spots. And it damn near worked.
Yeah. All right, let's check in on the Ducks. And I'm interested in your comments about what Joe Burrow had to say.
Yeah.
And then getting shut out. It's not looking good there.
Well, it's not fun, no.
We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental, the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, checking in on the Ducks, it's actually game week. They will be taking on the Dukes of Madison James on Saturday. That game right here on The Fan. Pre-game at noon, Ducks game day, brought to you by Coors Light. After the game, stay for the Dick Hanna Dealerships post-game scoreboard.
I am interested, and this may sound sacrilegious, I'm interested to what the crowd will be like.
Yeah?
Well,
I think it's going to be rocking.
I think so.
It's a playoff game.
Yeah. And that's why I said this may be sacrilegious. I wonder. There is...
You think it might be kind of subdued?
A little bit. Well,
because it's James Madison.
Well, the students are gone, right? Yeah. They've gone home.
Yeah, you're right. So, I guess holiday weekend.
Holiday weekend, right? Students gone. It's the worst possible matchup as far as getting any sort of juice. It's the first playoff game at Autzen history. Like, this thing should just be bananas. But having seen several big games there over the year... Like, I was there 2 years ago when they played Ohio State. That was a top five regular season game I've ever been to. In fact, back-to-back years, because the year before that in UW was a top five game. Those are two of the top five games I've ever been to. I don't think it's going to be like that.
No, it's not going to be like that.
And that's what I'm saying. It's weird. It's the first ever playoff game down there, and I am legitimately interested to, like, one, I've watched too much James Madison football over the last, 2 weeks.
Haven't we all?
I don't think you have, but I did. I wanted to go back and I want to look at James Madison, and I am like literally trying to find ways that I think James Madison can compete in this game. And I really can't come up with it. And so when you're Oregon and you watch it, and I know Lanning's going to tell his guys, you know, all the cliche, and it's not about them, it's about us, but we've seen Oregon play flat at times and play with their food. I'm not certain that the crowd is going to be the energizer, like, make sure you're up for this game. And the last thing you want is James Madison hanging around in these sorts of games. Mm-hmm. I've always said that when you're an underdog in games like this, you can tell yourself all you want that you belong, but you don't really believe it. Like, you lie to yourself. But if you let a team hang around and they actually start to get some of that real belief, the pressure starts shifting to you, start to pucker a little bit. Because the only way this game is close, if Oregon plays a sloppy, tight, just kind of disjointed game, and James Madison plays the game of their life, and you get like, you get a tip pass or a fumble that ends up being a pick six, maybe a special teams block punt, something like that. That's the only way this game stays close. And maybe and I don't know. Maybe Autzen comes out and it's Ohio State and the environment is just pumping and James Madison walks in and they've never seen anything like it. I'm just wondering, because most of the Duck fans I talk to, it's Texas Tech. It's like, well, you know, Texas Tech. And if you're paying for tickets, it's because you want to go down to Texas Tech. So I wonder what that environment's going to
be. Well, it may not be. I mean, it's not going to be peak. It's just not. I mean, it would be if it were Alabama or Notre Dame playing there, like we thought maybe they would. But it's not going to be because it's James Madison. So that's normal. Like, if the team's relying on the fans to get them going for this game, that's a problem. Like, Dan Lanning, no. Just take care of business. They'll be fine. Yeah. But look, let's not act like it's going to be raucous there. It's going to be one of those they always have a good environment there. They have great fans.
Yeah.
It's just some environments are better than others, and this probably won't be near the top of the
list.
Remember
when they played Idaho, right? Yeah. And I get that this is not
that type of game.
It's that, and I get that this is a playoff now is Idaho. But that sort of thing.
It's the same kind of matchup.
It's the same kind of matchup. And so let's say you're up by 17, right? You're up by 14 points. It's kind of going around, you're going through the motions, and again, one of those dumb plays that happens, right? Tip ball, special teams, whatever. Snap a ball over someone's head, and all of a sudden, it's a seven-point game. You look up in the fourth quarter, you're like, what in the hell? That's the only way James Madison is in this game. Someone said, Duck fan here, season ticket holder, said you can log in and see the tickets, and he said there are thousands of tickets still available.
Oh, really?
And that's what I'm wondering. Like, I'm certain at some point that they're going to say that's a sellout and they're going to fill it up, but I think it's going to be weird and I think it's a little bit of a shame. Now, it's still good that you're playing James Madison because you're going to win, as opposed to Notre Dame or Alabama or whatever, which would be a coin flip game. But it is weird that the first ever, if I told you years ago, hey, you're going to be at one of the top five teams in the country. There will be a playoff game in your home stadium and a 12-team playoff. And I told you that 4 days or 5 days before it, there's thousands of seats available. You're like, dude, you're effing crazy. And yet here we are. So there is a benefit, but also a downside, because I think the hype around this game is very soft.
Well, isn't some of it too that, well, I mean, I guess I just don't know how you could hype this game.
Yeah, it's
tough.
You
know what I'm saying? Like,
I've tried. Believe me, I tried to come on here this week.
To a pick.
And give you.
There you go. There you go. Oh, look at it. Casey's got his terrible towel in there.
He's waving it. I have tried to come up with a wrinkle or a matchup or something I could say about James Madison. And I will say this on film, because we've heard a lot about their offense. I actually think their defense, to me, when I've watched their games, their defense looks way better than their offense. And now, to be fair, I really watched the game that they lost in a couple of the close games. And so maybe I have a, and their offense wasn't great in those games, but I did try to go. That's where I watched Old Dominion. I watched one where they blew someone out, and I was like, okay, that I see what they're trying to do offensively. I will say, even against, Louisville and against Washington State, the better teams, their defense flies around. They play a very aggressive defense, but Oregon's just going to line up and just knock their D's in the dirt. They're just going to run over them. So, yeah, there just isn't a real compelling case I can make for James Madison.
And that's why there's not a lot of buzz. But, you know, I mean, isn't another element of this, too, that fans, and maybe not so much since it's in Eugene, but it is the holidays and, you know, people are off schedule.
Yeah.
And aren't they also kind of mapping out where they might want to go if the Ducks, or when the Ducks advance, or if the Ducks, you know what I mean? So I think some fans that would maybe normally go to that game are maybe bypassing that game. One, because Christmas is next week.
Yeah.
And two, because they're like, oh, I'd rather go travel to Miami where it's warm and watch them play Texas Tech.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
So there's probably a lot of that, too.
Yeah, which is why I said.
So the Ducks are just going to have to bring their own juice.
Remember when they played Northwestern, Lanning talked about it. Yeah. He said, hey, we got to manufacture our own juice. And it's weird to say that you may have to do that in Autzen in a playoff game. By the way, StubHub, you can get a really good seat. I mean, like, first 10 rows looks like on about the 25 to 30 yard line for $200.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that normal?
No.
Well,
you can get in the building.
I'm just saying price-wise.
You can get in the building for $75.
But is it?
And this secondary market.
So you're saying a good ticket like that is way more than $200 normally?
For big games, yeah. Yeah. Mm. I mean, I've got 50 yard line row 21, including the fees, which are astronomical. I got it right now for $230.
For one?
For a pair. Well, but $230 a piece.
So, okay, so $460.
Yeah, for a 50-yard line, 20 row.
You know what?
For a playoff game,
I hate to say this. That's overpriced. It's James Madison. Like, I'm not paying that.
So what's the, so are we going?
If that's Alabama, that's a totally different
story. So we're going
story.
Bama, Oklahoma, the best game of the.
I think Miami A&M could be good.
Let's look at Miami. Let's look at, I want to see what Miami.
I bet you can't get a seat for that. That's Kyle Field, man.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Like, what, does that say something? Like, but if this was Miami coming there, isn't Autzen Stadium the same way?
I think what you should look at is Ole Miss. Because they're playing Tulane.
I bet it's the same thing.
It's the same idea. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So if they're sold out and they're, I mean, it's just, that's the nature of the beast, man. When you're playing Tulane and James Madison, it's like, you know, I don't really care. I mean, I want to root on my team, but.
Okay. So that's.
Oh my God, the Steelers just gave it back to him. What's going on with your Steelers, Casey? God.
So that same seat.
Oh, second down. Never mind.
So we're right in there, somewhere between the 45 and 50 yard line. This is row 20, so it's the same seat.
Okay,
that you're for 230 all in
at Autzen.
At Autzen,
what is it at Ole Miss?
Would you care? No, I look. This is Texas A&M.
Oh, A&M.
Yeah.
Oh, over 1,000.
Yeah, it's $2,000.
Yeah,
it's $2,000.
What is it at Ole Miss though?
Okay, now I'm looking at Ole Miss.
Because that, you know, they already played Tulane once
and beat them by
35 points.
Yeah, they did
at home. So they've actually already played this game.
Do you think it's better or worse?
That's worse
than Oregon.
What if I told you, like, I'm trying to think of one of Oregon's blowout home wins, Oklahoma State. What if they played Oklahoma State in this game?
Okay, so this is, so I'm row 12, so slightly better. But right, because I'm just going on secondary market. So row 12, slightly better, but right around that same thing, 45, 50 yard line, including fees, we're somewhere in the $500 to $600 range at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So Autzen is by far
the softest
market.
All right. Well, we've got an update on the wide receivers. Maybe guys coming back.
Yeah.
We will get to that coming up next. But first, here's Casey Smith with SportsCenter. I just don't know how the Dukes or the Ducks. Wait, Dukes, which team am I talking about?
I don't know.
I just don't know how the Ducks can handle the Dukes.
I do.
Without their full complement of receivers. Okay. And today, you know, the media doesn't get in for much of practice, but they do get in at the beginning, I think, where they're stretching or something.
Yes.
And Evan Stewart was out there. Mm-hmm. So was DeCorian Moore and
Gary Bryant Jr.
GBJ.
So, is that right? What did you say? GBJ. Yeah. Okay. I was like, wait, do you have that sound? It sounded clunky.
Thank you for checking my work.
I was like, yeah. Yeah. And by the way, stretching, who knows, right? But the idea is no one thought that these were season-ending injuries. Stewart, we don't know. He hasn't played all year, obviously, but... Look, if they get those three back, if they get those two back.
Yeah. Well, they really, I mean, just one of them would be very helpful.
You know, there is a path. We've talked about it. Like, I did not think that this team was a national title team. I still don't think that this is, like, a great team. I think it's a good team without, a ton of deficiencies. But, boy, when you look at the path laid before them, James Madison, whatever, Texas Tech, and then probably Indiana. Indiana is down one of their best defensive players. You get a couple of those receivers back. I get why people are saying, why not us? No, I think on the other side of things, I think Georgia and Ohio State might be a bridge too far. But there is a path forward. And you get those guys back. I get why some national pundits, I've seen some people start to be like, if you want a sleeper team that people aren't really hyping, which maybe they're not a sleeper anymore because a lot of the national media guys are talking about them, I do think there's a lot of people that think that Oregon is a team to look out for.
A lot of people saying.
They need those receivers back.
The thing is, we don't know if they're back.
No, we don't.
They're back out there.
They're stretching.
And not only that, but if they are ready to go for James Madison,
yeah.
I mean,
you give them slivers.
You got to be... Yes. Careful yes. there, don't you?
But I love the idea especially like Evan Stewart, right? Or any of them, right? That haven't played for a number of weeks, but especially Evan Stewart. What better way that you can kind of ease your way back in to break off and shake off some of that rust? This really is a perfect scenario. Maybe not to have the best crowd in the world in the most raucous environment. Someone said on the text program, he goes, yeah, I'm not going to that game, but I already have my flight and tickets lined up for Texas Tech. I think a lot of fans are like that. Okay, I'm saving the money.
Well, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's a problem, too, for this game.
But the idea that you can kind of ease your way into this with James Madison, as long as no one gets hurt in this game. Now, if Dante Moore breaks an ankle, then you're like, God, why did we play this game? But this should be a perfect scenario for you to kind of ramp back up and maybe get some guys
So if DeCorian Moore is ready to go, not necessarily Stewart. Stewart would need a game. Like, you want him out. If Stewart's ready to go, you get him some reps, right? Because he's got to ramp it back up.
Absolutely.
DeCorian Moore, if he's ready to go, do you...
If he's 85%.
You play him?
Anything less than that, I sit his little behind down on the bench and I say, hey, man, one more week. But if he's 85, we're going to get him now. We're not going to play his normal snap counts, but I'm like, hey, we're going to give you 15 to 20 snaps, and we're going to keep you kind of on the outside. We're not running over the middle, but we're going to get you popped a little bit, and we're going to have a certain route tree that you're going to run.
Have you watched a 5-star at all?
I have not seen that yet.
Yeah.
Now, I tell you, the sports documentary, when the person making it is the one that's being featured in it, that stuff just,
It is certainly one-sided.
Yeah.
It 5-star, it's on, I think it's on Netflix. I can't remember where it airs, but it follows around a bunch of 5-star recruits, DeCorian Moore being one of them.
Sure.
And so the thing I like about those documentaries, I think maybe more so than you, is yes, of course, they're one-sided, so you're not getting the full story, but you are getting a look at who these people are.
Yeah.
And so you do learn about DeCorian Moore. Yeah. Like, he's on there, his mom's on there, and seems like a really sharp, nice kid.
Yeah.
And is, you know, and you kind of see behind the scenes of how it all works with, you know, the money and, some of the money.
Sure.
And the things.
Some of the money and things.
Well, you know what I mean.
It is weird to see high school kids driving $100,000 cars.
Well, he bought his mom a house in Dallas. And they go through that. They talk about her moving and everything. Yeah. And so anyway, I don't know why I brought that up. Why did I bring that up?
I don't know. You just asked.
Because DeCorian Moore was on there.
Yeah. Yeah. You just asked if I had seen it. I said,
you know what? The other one, too, this is completely unrelated, but the NFL, the Hard Knocks in season is NFC East.
And yeah, you were talking about that, saying it was really good.
Well, the in season one is way better.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons it's way better is because they turned around. That show airs on Tuesday.
It's a week behind, right?
No. They had Eagles Chargers on there from the night before.
Oh.
Yes.
Yikes. I always thought it was just like a week behind. But yeah, I guess they're doing it even better.
I mean, it covers both, but it's a lot more topical because you know what's happening. You know where they're at in their schedule and what's kind of... So I don't know. I thought that was pretty interesting that they were able to turn that game around that quickly. Hmm. They turned that around in 24 hours for that show.
That's cool. That's another one.
It kind of makes you wonder if we're ever going to get
real time.
Yeah, real time reality shows in sports.
It'd be kind of fun.
You know?
I'd be more inclined to watch that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But they also aren't going to be inclined to let you film it.
No. Because again, they want control over that. I don't know why I thought about this, but the 5-star, because you brought up the money thing. Did you hear Mick Cronin on the NIL thing?
No. He's a red ass.
He is a giant red ass. And I'm trying to find this exact quote because it was just like this last week. Mick Cronin said, someone asked him about, you know, recruiting or whatever. And he goes, the kids go where you pay them the most to go. So just keep that in mind. The next time, like, one of my players talks about why he came here and he talks about my relationship with him and this bond that we have. And he goes, realize I've known that kid for 2 weeks. So just keep that in mind.
God.
And I just was dying that, you know.
Oh, a little honesty.
A little honesty.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm sure in that they talk about his relationship with Lanning and why he went to Oregon. And, you know, we talk about that. Not too much?
I mean, I don't know. You'll watch. Are you going to watch it? You probably won't.
I'll probably watch. I'm more inclined to watch Hard Knocks than I will the in season.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Hey, just go find the Nick Cronin quote is great. He's like, just realize I've known that kid for 2 weeks when they talk about the bond and he goes where whoever pays him the most. I thought it was just kind of it was the first guy that I've seen really just kind of lay it out there and be like, dude, they just, they go where they go.
They go where they go.
Well, they go where you pay them to go.
Well, yeah. But I think what, yeah, he's saying is the kids don't ever admit that.
Yeah. They're like, he's like, it's not about relationship. Yeah,
right. Well, I really felt comfortable here. And
I've known the kid.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, my God. Did he rip Tua's head off? Okay, we got to get back on track. Joe Burrow, is he retiring? Next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to find, so Cronin was playing one of these neutral sites games that, you know, that they play now. They never play at home. So he was asking about, like, the challenges of going on the road, West Coast. And he said, guys pick schools because they get paid. So these neutral site games help raise money. So next spring, when we sign a guy in the portal and you interview him and he tells you he really bonded with me, I've known him for 2 weeks, you'll know why he came here. Which I think is the most honest answer I've seen yet from a coach, and I appreciated it.
Look at all this honesty out there.
I know, right?
Joe Burrow really honest on Friday.
Boy, I'll tell you what, if you're a Cincinnati fan, that might be the worst thing I've heard as a Cincinnati fan in years.
We played the comments Friday. I have them here.
It's brutal.
Well, maybe I'll
He tried to backtrack and be like, oh, I wasn't talking about Cincinnati not having fun. Yeah, you were, Joe. Yeah, you were.
Yeah, let me play a little bit of it here.
No, it's not, what certainly is, doesn't.
Colorado Rockies?
Changed my desire to win. You know, if I want to keep doing this, I have to have fun doing it. You know, I've been through a lot, and if it's not fun, then what am I doing it for? So that's the mindset I'm trying to bring to the table.
How much fun are you having right now? Is it difficult to have fun given the season, what you've been through physically, emotionally, all of it? Is it tough?
Yeah, certainly.
Did you have fun playing for the, I mean, how much of it was fun before? And winning's always fun, but in general, was it as fun before you got hurt? Did you view it that way at least?
No, I wouldn't say I viewed it that way, I think.
What was the changing point?
Changing point. I'm not sure there was a singular moment or of time. It's just a reflection on a lot of things that I've done and been through in my career, I think. And I've been through more than most, and certainly not easy on the brain or the body, so just trying to have fun doing it again.
You seem like there's something on your mind. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but seem frustrated.
There's just a lot of things going on right now.
football related, personally?
All the above.
Oh boy.
I mean,
what do you think's happening?
It ain't good. Whatever is happening, and he said on, off the field, all of the above.
Yeah.
And you know, when Andrew Luck retired.
By the way, they're the same age.
They're the same age, right? And
well, they, I mean, yeah, at the time.
At the time.
Yeah. Andrew Luck was 29 when yes. he hung it up. Yeah. Joe Burrow is 29.
Joe Burrow will have made close to $200 million, by the way.
Yeah.
Money is not an issue.
Yeah.
Right? He has more than enough money to not ever play again. I have said all along, I thought Joe Burrow should force his way out of Cincinnati. And I don't know if this is forcing his way out of Cincinnati or if, like Andrew Luck, he's just like, I'm not doing this. But one of the things that Andrew Luck talked about when he walked away was it's not a matter of being injured and rehabbing. It's getting going through everything it takes to rehab and then getting hurt right after that. As someone, and look, my career didn't end because I got hurt. I just wasn't very good, but I was always hurt. I never remember a season where at the end of it, I wasn't rehabbing something, knowing that as soon as I started up again, I would get hurt all over again. And it is, I'm just telling you, it is absolutely deflating. Think about how hard he worked to get back from that toe and come back faster than anyone realized. And all of that goes into that. And then you come back and not only are you coming back, but you're getting your teeth kicked in. You're not winning. You know, you're not even close to winning. And every time you've done that in your career, you get hurt. He has not, I would love to know what's the longest stretch he's gone in his career without being hurt. I mean, this is a constant thing for him. And so if you're doing that and you're not getting rewarded on the back end by having a good team built around you, and you don't feel that they will build a good team around you, and they certainly have never given you an offensive line that's worth a damn. Your second year was your best year where you got that close to the Super Bowl. You haven't sniffed it since. I just think if you're a Cincinnati fan, that is an absolutely dreadful thing to hear from your quarterback. That sounds like a guy that is really contemplating some stuff. And part of that contemplation isn't, I love playing quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, I've said all along, I think Joe Burrow should get out of Cincinnati.
Well, I think he wants to.
I just don't know he knows how.
So he should want to anyway.
Yes.
He said all that, and then he goes out and lays a, they got shut out
yeah.
by Baltimore.
And he had a bad pick.
He came out and said, there is no NFL team that would have won with me at quarterback today.
No.
Also alarming.
Yeah.
And then they said, well, were your comments directed at Cincinnati? He said, no, it had nothing to do with Cincinnati. Yeah. I was just, you know, this yeah. is how I feel right now. So remember, this is the same owner that Carson Palmer went through the same thing and said, trade me.
Yes.
Carson Palmer finally just said, trade
me. I'm not doing
me.
This.
I want out of here. And they did not trade him
yeah.
to the point where Carson Palmer was like, okay, fine, I'll just retire.
Yeah. And then eventually,
I wonder if maybe Joe Burrow is going through that.
And Carson
Palmer, he knows he can't get out of there.
Yeah. And Carson Palmer, by the way, did eventually manage to work his way out of there.
But he had to retire.
He had to retire first.
And Cincinnati would not trade him.
No, Cincinnati is the sort of dumbass organization
yes.
like they did with Shamar Stewart. Cincinnati will cut their nose off to spite themselves, despite their own face. Like they will dig in and they'll just be like, okay. Instead of getting a massive haul for Joe Burrow, they'll just be like, no, yep. we're not letting this happen.
And I think he knows that.
Yes. And so maybe he does indeed feel trapped. But this is really bad stuff for Cincinnati.
By the way, he played all 17 games last year.
Did he get through all 17?
Yep. Yeah, he threw for almost
he had a hell of a year.
5,000 yards.
He had no defense
so
whatsoever.
He's had three seasons where he's played full seasons, mm-hmm. and then he's had, this year he's only played 5 games, one yep. year, and 2 other years he played 10.
Yeah. When healthy, that is one of the best quarter, he is as natural a position player as we have in the NFL. He just...
So he hasn't been as hurt, he hasn't been hurt as much as I had thought.
He's been beat
but
up.
But he's been beat
if,
up.
Even if he's still yeah. playing, he is beat yeah. up. And then every year, remember, he always had something starting the year, even the appendix. He just has been a guy that has always been beat up. And even when he is healthy, he gets his teeth kicked in because they've never put a real offense around him. The offense basically is give you a couple receivers and Joe, go bail us out of crap. Even the year he went to the Super Bowl, dude, he was getting his teeth kicked in. And he ain't getting any younger. If you ask me which comes first Joe Burrow forces his way out of Cincinnati, retires, or Cincinnati puts out a team that could actually win a Super Bowl, I think it's one of the first two.
Okay, well, which comes first? Joe Burrow retires or Joe Burrow forces his way out of Cincinnati?
I think he will try to force his way out by retiring.
Oh, same as Carson
Palmer. Same as Carson Palmer. I don't think Burrow wants to hang him up, but if Cincinnati really does play hardball with him, and I'd have to look at his contract, and they can still franchise tag him and all that stuff, there's probably no way for him to get out of this. So he may just walk and just be like, look, I can't keep doing this. You imagine, God forbid, if something happens to him at the end of this year and he gets hurt.
Yeah, he should probably shut her down.
He's tied to them for a while, at least through 2027.
Well, this I can tell you with a definitive confidence. Okay, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Miami Dolphins absolutely suck. And I can't believe we have to watch this.
And one of these teams could easily end up in the playoffs.
It is a punt fest.
The Pittsburgh Steelers could end up hosting a playoff game.
And by the way, neither coach deserves to win this game because they're punting 4th and 1. I mean, Tomlin, we expect that. Isn't McDaniel supposed to be like kind of...
Tomlin went for it twice on 4th down in the opening drive.
I missed that. But I have seen so many punts, and Miami's was the worst, actually. It was 4th and 1 from their own 40, and they punted.
Yeah, well...
Effing cowards.
I think both coaches realized that 7 points may win this game. So.
All right, let's get to the club. RIP Rob Reiner, next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.